Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you on board and great to head into the weekend. What a weekend it's going to be. We have a lot going on in today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's time to go there because, again, when you have a weekend that includes the opening of the college basketball season, a Penn State-Nebraska game, a playoff game between Schick and Milton, you have Cowboys and Eagles, and Steelers have another big one. So you have a lot going on this weekend, so there's one stop to make, and that is the beverage supermarket. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Chateau, the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Lenape Solar Hotline, always open at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. It is the opening of college basketball season. Tonight, Purdue and Bucknell will play at Mackey Arena. Bucknell coming off the runner-up finish in the Patriot last year, winning the opening round of the NIT at Arizona. And they return virtually everyone. And Mike Muscala and Joe Wilma, of course, be the ones leading the team this year. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Dave Paulson, the head coach of the Bucknell Bison, and talk about his team. And the Nittany Lion basketball team opening up tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center as Penn State will take on St. Francis at 7 o'clock. And I will have a sit-down with Patrick Chambers, who joined me yesterday for a quick taping here at the Sunbury Motors studio. So Patrick Chambers will join us in the next half hour as well in something I was able to sit down and talk to him about yesterday. Later in the show, we'll hear from Bill O'Brien. Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network will check in as well. And we'll also revisit an interview I had with Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football. All this is a primer to get you ready for tomorrow in Lincoln. It's interesting. Talking to Bill O'Brien last night, you know, we were saying, hey, the temperature is going to be 75 in Lincoln. And he says, oh, no, the trainer, Tim Bream, he says he's saying that, you know, this cold front might move here and it might move there. And if it does, it's going to be colder as the game goes along. And then he looks at me, he says, I think Bream slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So we'll take a quick look at the forecast for tomorrow as well in Lincoln. But we have a lot going on in today's show. And before we get to any of that, Dave Paulson, Patrick Chambers, Bill O'Brien, Dave Revson, we need to check in with Above the Noise here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And that means Dan Patrick.
Brewers Outlet Sunbury has all your football tailgating supplies. They have beer, they have snacks, they have soda, they have water. And don't forget plenty of beer. Choose from a huge selection of imports and microbrews. Check out their incredible deals. They have everything that comes together to make a great beverage shoppable store. Then there's the fresh roasted peanuts daily and the help yourself pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the cooler weather. And don't forget the beer.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, the Elantra, the 2012 North American Car of the Year, is leading the way with a new sale price of $18,795. That's one incredible price on a five-passenger car packed with safety features and awesome fuel economy. Just $18,795 for the beautiful Ruby Elantra with beige interior. On the lot right now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Ruby red, not your color? Don't worry, because you can find one in black pearl, shimmering silver, desert bronze, or harbor gray. Base model or with leather. Need heated seats or a sunroof? You can get it in an Elantra. This is one cool car at an extremely great value. Need a little more room? A larger trunk for the golf clubs or luggage? Hyundai and Sunbury Motors has you covered with a sensational Sonata. Also starting under 20 grand at $19,895. Hyundai is still the most fuel-efficient car company in America with America's best warranty. View the virtual lot online with all discounts applied at SunburyHyundai.com. Or stop by Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar, your approved PPL e-Power Trade ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all of the paperwork for you. The e-Power Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of the project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Justin Charles, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Welcome back, News Radio 1070 WKOK, the Steve Jones Show on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget Shikellamy Milton coming up, playoff football. And, of course, there's a lot going on basketball-wise. We'll hear from Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach of Bucknell, bottom of the hour, followed by Patrick Chambers, the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions. Then in the next hour, we will hear from Bill O'Brien, Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, and also Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska football. So we try to round everything up as much as we can and get you ready for the weekend. And a couple of interesting notes. How about Florida State, Virginia Tech last night? Let's start there with that. Virginia Tech had them. They're at home. They had been able to go downfield. They had Florida State pinned deep. It was 20-17. They got a safety out of it. Made it 20-19, got the free kick, drove downfield, got a field goal out of that to make it 22-20, and then they gave up the late touchdown with 40 seconds to go that allowed Florida State to win that game last night and survive in Blacksburg. And again, it's just not the typical Virginia Tech team, and for Florida State, a big win for them, one that they needed to pick up on the road last night and did, because everything seemed to be trending Virginia Tech's way in that game last night. With the safety, then the free kick, and it ended up being altogether a five-point play. That five-point play put Virginia Tech in front, and they had played well enough defensively, and Florida State was not running the football last night. Well, with that, Florida State was able to hit some big plays in the pass game, drive downfield, and then eventually score the game-winning touchdown. So the great season for Florida State continues. The misery for Virginia Tech in this particular year continues. A rarity for Virginia Tech. But again, they were beaten last night in Blacksburg. Florida State tacked on a two-point conversion. It was 28-22 was the final in last night's game. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Andrew Luck just continues to have a great season. Ran for two touchdowns last night, and Indianapolis also scored a defensive touchdown. They beat the Jags 27-10. Now, Jacksonville, not a good football team. They're now 1-8, but the one win they had was against the Colts in Indianapolis. And last night, you could just tell from the get-go, they were the better team. And Luck just, I mean, you watch him play the game. He plays the game as if he's been in the league for 5 years. Gets in the pocket. His pocket awareness is just spectacular. The way he feels pressure, steps up, makes a play. He always has his head up looking to make a play. He's a very special talent. And they're 6-3 right now. And the Colts, if they ended the season today, the Colts, which last year won twice and have essentially changed quarterbacks, right now would be in the playoffs. They would be a wild card team right now. That's what kind of year that they've had so far. 6-3. And this guy here has played just above himself. And what an incredible gesture by Andrew Luck and the entire Colts team, all shaving their heads in support of their head coach, Chuck Pagano, who's undergoing radiation therapy for leukemia. And he's going through his second round starting now. And he's been doing well. But that tells you everything about team unity, and they continue to play really well. I mean, he's been Andrew Luck has been incredible to the point where you look at him, and we've always talked in this program about the elite quarterbacks. And it's easy. Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay, Roethlisberger of the Steelers, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots, Eli Manning of the Giants, Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos, Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, those six elite guys. And there are some guys that are right there on the verge of knocking on the door to getting in, one of them being Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, around here we've had a lot of Joe Flacco talk. And if you gave me a choice between Andrew Luck as a rookie 9 games into his career and Joe Flacco, 5 years into his career, I'd take Luck. If I had to win today, I'd take Andrew Luck. And I'm not usually somebody that talks like that. But I just watch him play. He plays at a completely different level than everybody else, the way he sees the field and the command that he has over the offense. It's just incredible. And the Colts are now playing with a lot of confidence right now. You have to give them a lot of credit for that, the way they played with a lot of confidence at this stage. And you look at the standings right now in the NFL, they'd be a wild card team. They'd be in. I mean, you look at the AFC right now, the Patriots, of course, have the lead in the AFC East. Okay, they're a game up on the Dolphins, and then the Jets and Bills are 2 off the pace. But the Patriots are starting to hit stride now, and they have the lead. Now, the Ravens, who have been decimated by injury, still have the 1-game lead over the Steelers. The Steelers right now would be a wild card team. And then, of course, Houston's been great. Indianapolis would be the other wild card team. And then Denver leads the West. They're a game up on San Diego. But right now, the two wild card teams would be the Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. And the odd thing is about the AFC, those are the only 6 teams that are over 500 right now at this stage. The 4 division leaders and the 2 wildcard leaders are the only 6 teams in the AFC over 500 at this stage. And then you get to the NFC. Giants, of course, are there with the 2.5 game lead on the Eagles and the Cowboys. And the Eagles and Cowboys play this weekend. The Redskins are 3 back. The Bears have been great. The Falcons have been great. And the Niners have a 1-game lead on Seattle. Now, the wild card teams right now in the NFC would be, at this stage, Green Bay. And I believe Seattle has the tiebreaker over Minnesota. And once again, those are just the 7 teams in the NFC that are over 500. So you only have 13 of the 32 teams in the NFL, only 13 of the 32 over 500. That's amazing at this stage. In fact, they do have a playoff standings thing. It is, Seattle does have the tiebreaker because of the head-to-head winning percentage. So they'd be in. But it's bizarre. There are only 7 teams in the NFC over 500 and only 6 in the AFC over 500. Long way to go. But it's interesting the way it's been able to break down, because there's some teams. I mean, you look at the bottom of each one. I mean, the NFC North is the only one. Every team in the NFC North is either 500 or better, because the Lions are 4-4. Everybody else has somebody in the cellar. At least everybody's won this year. And the Chiefs and the Steelers are the Monday night game, and, of course, the Cowboys and Eagles are on Sunday. That Cowboys-Eagles game, to me, that is a playoff elimination game. They're both 3-5 right now. You know, think about the Eagles and the Cowboys. They each have a win over the Giants. And the Giants have played as well as anybody. Giants would be the actually be the 4 seed right now because the Niners are 6-2. But still, that's what we've seen so far. Now let's get to the National Hockey League. They're trying to make some progress in this whole thing. They met for 5 hours. And for the first time since talks resumed earlier this week, the NHL and the players broke their silence. Although neither side offered much insight into the state of the negotiation, it appears progress is being made. Source confirmed that the union offered 2 proposals on Wednesday, one on revenue sharing and the other on the make-whole concept to honor existing player contracts. Additionally, Pierre LeBrun, the union's make-whole proposal, includes a phase-in element that would eventually see the player share drop to a 50-50 revenue split in year 3 based on what they would perceive to be regular growth, whatever that means. Now, the two sides aren't talking much. Gary Bettman hasn't said much about anything. When asked about progress, he says it was tough to handicap. He says but he did say they have a lot of work to do, but we're working hard. Two sides met for more than 5 hours. They'll meet again today. And Donald Fehr indicated the union would be willing to meet this weekend if necessary to try and get it done. So why did the league want to limit media exposure on the discussions? He says, because we have work to do, and my hope is that we can achieve the goal of getting a long-term fair agreement in place as quickly as possible so we can play hockey, Bettman said. Although both Donald Fehr and Gary Bettman declined to characterize or divulge any details of the negotiations, there's been at least some progress in the form of ideas being swapped. When asked whether yesterday's session was viewed as a juncture of critical importance, Bettman said, every day that passes, I think, is critical for the game and our fans. 7 NHL players attended the meeting yesterday, but it does sound like they're working toward getting something done. Now, already the Winter Classic is gone. Now, I don't know if they were to somehow forge an agreement now if they could get it back. I have no idea what their contract is with the University of Michigan on this, because it would be played at the Big House. They were going to get 125,000 people for it. But look, you have to know who you are. And the NHL knows they can't drop off the radar for a full season again. They just can't do it. Well, college basketball doesn't drop off the radar. In fact, at Ramstein Air Base tonight, UConn is taking on Michigan State. On the USS Yorktown in Patriot Bay in Charleston, it's Ohio State and Marquette this evening. The Nittany Lions take on St. Francis, and Bucknell opens at Purdue. We'll hear from Dave Paulson and also from Patrick Chambers in the next half hour. But news is next. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones Show on a Friday and another great sports weekend. It's great to have you on board. Make sure you make that trip home safe one tonight. And wherever you happen to be traveling this weekend. We have such a big weekend here with Shikellamy and Milton, Kevin Herr. The preparation easy. It's a rematch from last week's game. You also have Bucknell in football playing at Georgetown tomorrow, looking for their second consecutive win. Eagles and Cowboys on Sunday. Chiefs and Steelers on Monday night. And when it comes to college football, Nittany Lions and Nebraska tomorrow at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. It's the first time Bill O'Brien's ever been there. He's, to be honest with you, and talking to him yesterday, excited, pumped up. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien in the next half hour, and also Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network in the next half hour as well. But it's also the opening of college basketball season. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend, and with so much going on, you need to stock up at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Can't wait to see the SMC guys. Tailgating outside Beaver Stadium the next 2 weekends with Indiana and Wisconsin coming in. And the Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. It is the opening of college basketball season. I mentioned in the previous segment, UConn is opening up tonight against Michigan State at Ramstein Air Base on this Veterans Day weekend. So they're going to play in Germany tonight. And down at Patriots Bay in Charleston on the USS Yorktown, and I've been on the this beautiful vessel before because they when Penn State played in the Charleston basketball tournament a couple of years ago, they held the banquet on the USS Yorktown. Well, now they're going to play a game on it. And for me, it was meaningful because below deck, and they gave us a complete tour of the aircraft carrier. And this is the second USS Yorktown, by the way. The original, and for those who love movies, you know, the movie Midway is a true story. And yes, the USS Yorktown was sunk at Midway. Well, this is the one they rebuilt and used in the Korean War and in Vietnam and so forth. And this one was built, I think, I want to say in 1943. Because the original USS Yorktown was sunk in Midway in 1942, in June of 42. But below deck, when you go through, there is an area that they have that is the Aircraft Carrier Wall of Fame. And it was, and that meant something to me because I took a lot of time to go through it and look at it, and then finally found the USS Antietam. And why is the USS Antietam important to me? Because in the Korean War, that is the aircraft carrier that my father served on. So, you know, for me, that was special just to see that. Now, when you talk about college basketball opening up, and by the way, Marquette and Ohio State play on the flat top tonight. On the USS Yorktown. Now, Penn State will play tonight against St. Francis in the Jordan Center. In just a few minutes, my sit-down with Patrick Chambers, who joined me in the Sunbury Motors studio early yesterday, and we talked about the upcoming season and how his preseason went. And also Dave Paulson. His team opens up tonight. They will play at Purdue, and looking forward to that. And Bucknell, look, they match up actually pretty well with Purdue in a lot of ways. They really do. And so you look at what they have on the plate with Mike Muscala back, Joe Willman. And I had a chance earlier on the Lenape Solar Hotline to get an opportunity to talk with the head basketball coach of the Bucknell Bison, Dave Paulson, who's done an outstanding job for them throughout all of this. And I had a chance to talk to Dave about his team and how they're playing so far this during the course of the preseason. And he's been very pleased.
That just means it's the start of college basketball, so we're excited and ready to get rolling.
Purdue, huh?
Yeah, we're starting
Do you want me to give you a scouting report? Because I think I've seen them more in person than you have.
you probably have seen them more in person. Now, the good news is we've seen a couple of their exhibition games. They've been on the Big Ten Network. And they're going to be really, really good, but I'm glad to know we're not going to have to guard Robbie Hummel, that's for sure.
Ooh, boy, yeah, Robbie, in fact, Robbie is getting back into action in Spain, as a matter of fact. So that's what he's going to be doing. And, yeah, and Lewis Jackson as well. I want to talk about your team first. How has it come together since mid-October for you in practice? Because you have a veteran team, that doesn't always mean there's carryover. So has there been carryover?
Well, there's been a lot of good carryover, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, I think our veteran guys are very focused and very serious about wanting to do well. So there's been a good energy level and intensity level. And having a veteran team, we've been able to, you know, really push them harder than, you know, we've ever pushed a team here at Bucknell. And try to get to more nuances defensively and offensively. And now we want to go against other people. So, I think our guys are in, you know, relatively healthy. They've worked hard. Chemistry's good. And now it's a matter of getting out and going against a really, really challenging non-conference schedule.
Yeah, no, and you set up that non-conference schedule. When you put it together, did you have a veteran team in mind as to how you put it together? Because you'd like to roll up some RPI points if possible.
Well, I think, you know, again, obviously you think in the back of your mind with a team that has a chance to be good, you schedule a little bit with the RPI in mind. But more than that, you know, that's the way we tried to schedule all the time. It's certainly the way Pat Flannery tried to schedule when he was here. you know, you want to play against the best. Our guys come to Bucknell to try to really challenge themselves nationally in the pre-conference schedule, and, you know, get in different parts of the country. And that was the main thing. And we're very excited. We've got some really marquee home games this year, and scheduling home games is always a challenge. So, you know, we think it's just going to prepare us for Patriot League play.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that. And the Patriot League is going to be a challenge, as everyone knows. Give me an idea, though, about the kind of preseason Mike Muscala's had.
Well, Mike, you know, continues to get better. And the thing that you love about Mike is every year, you know, we give him one or two things that he's got to really attack to get better at. And he comes back, and he's done that. And, you know, he's continued to get stronger. He's playing stronger around the basket, continues to develop his perimeter game. And he just competes with such intensity and passion every day. You know, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and that part is exciting because what does he bring to the table as a big man that an ordinary big man does not bring to the table?
Well, I think this is versatility, you know, that he can – he's become a really good low-post threat. You know, when he first got to Bucknell, he was just so skinny that he couldn't really score in the post. But he's a terrific low-post threat with his right hand, with his left hand. But his ability to shoot the jump shot, you know, he's going to shoot a few more threes, I think, this year than last year. He's a great passer. So, you know, we play through him. So many teams play through their point guard or their two guard, and we really play through our front court guys, he and Joe Willman, who's one of the smartest players I've ever coached.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about Joe Willman, because when you look at him, what kind of glue guy is he to what you want to do?
Well, he's really a glue guy. You know, one of the things we challenge him is, you know, I think he's a great blender. You know, he can blend with any style and any guys in the court, and that's a great attribute. And what we said, Joe, we want you to blend a little less, though, this year. You know, that he's a terrific scorer in his own right, but he's just so smart. He makes the right pass. He understands angles offensively. He's our best talker on defense. And he just, you know, he's really instrumental in allowing Mike to do the types of things Mike can do, because it's very hard for the opposing four man, you know, to really help much off of Joe, or Joe's going to be a real threat.
I mean, Joe scores when he needs to score, obviously. Has it been difficult, though, for you to look at him and say, Joe, you can score more? I mean, and I tell a story about the 2004 World Series when David Ortiz looked at Manny Ramirez and he said, you know, a home run in the postseason counts too. And then Ramirez went out and hit one. Same thing with Joe. Do you always have to tell him sometimes, hey, Joe, you can score too?
Yes, yeah. And that's the thing. We've really challenged him to be aggressive and look for his own offense, you know, as long as he's not taking bad shots. And he has been more aggressive in the preseason practices, and, you know, I think with a lot of good results.
Yeah, and give me an idea. You mentioned about talking on defense. You and I know the value of that, because if you don't communicate on defense, then you're sunk. Have you seen with a veteran team that they have that concept down?
Yes, I mean, for the most part, and there's a big gap. You can really tell the difference between the veteran guys and the newer guys who are going to be good players. But, you know, the level of different ball screen coverages and our rotations, we've been able to become pretty sophisticated because these guys have been around for a while and have learned the system and know how to talk. So I think in terms of our rotations and coverage areas, you know, we're as good as we've been. Now the problem is individually, you know, we lack that one defensive stopper that we've relied on for the last 4 years in Brian Cohen. And that, you know, right, that's an area of concern, because, you know, to be able to go in our league, clearly a guy named, you know, C.J. McCollum, to be able to really limit his effectiveness, but also some of the great perimeter players that we're going to play against, you know, throughout the season, we need our team defense to be strong, but we need an individual guy to just say, hey, put me on that kid, and I'm going to really make his life miserable. We, you know, to be very honest with you, Steve, we haven't found that guy yet.
Right. Cameron Ayers. Here's a guy, second-team All-Patriot last year, 6'5", and he can defend. What do you like about him, and could he be that guy you're talking about?
Well, he could be. be that guy, you know, and we've challenged him to be that guy, and, you know, he's got that ability, and part of that, you know, it's a mindset. And Cam is a little bit like Joe Wallman in the sense that he's a great blender, you know, he's smart, you know, when he came in as a freshman, you'd think he was a senior. He was so just poised and made the right play and made the right decision, and he blends in and knows that we're going to play through Mike. But again, with him, we want him being a little more aggressive on the offensive end. And we want him to be, you know, take the challenge of being our defensive stopper on the defensive end. Now, that's a hard combination.
Yeah.
Brian Cohen, you know, to a large degree, could just really focus on the defensive end and know that we had other guys really scoring and picking up that burden. I don't know that Cameron will be a guy who gets 40 minutes on the other team's best perimeter player, just because that's going to take so much out of him. So we're going to need Bryson Johnson, who's not been known for his defense,
right,
but has worked really hard and improved in that area, to take a stab at it. We need our point guards to take a stab at that guy. So I think we're in the past, you know, Brian Cohen would be on a kid like C.J. McCollum for 40 minutes. It might be 20 minutes of Cameron Ayers and 20 minutes of a committee assignment.
Right. You go into a place like Mackey, for example, but your team has gone places and they've played well on the road, most notably of late, obviously going into McHale and beating Tucson and Arizona in the opening round of the NIT. A road mentality is special. Do you sense that your team and being around them, because they are veterans, that they have that mentality to go into somebody else's building and still perform the way Bucknell needs to play?
I think so. You know, we'll find out for sure on Friday, but they certainly did at the end of last year. And, you know, at the beginning of last year, we played in Minnesota. We were up by 5 late in the game, or up by 3 with 5 minutes to go, I think it was. And you know, I don't know if the guys really completely knew that they could win that game. And we had George Mason on the ropes. We didn't know if we could win that game. And at Arizona, they played the whole way knowing they could win that game. And I think they have that mentality that, you know, we have a tall task with Purdue. Terrific team and one of the best coaches in America. But I think our guys have a lot of confidence, and I don't think they're going to come unglued with the 13,000, 14,000 people there that are at Mackey.
Right. E.J. Bird, Tyrone Johnson, a couple guys, you know, front court, back court, and threes. Give me an idea of the difficulty that they cause in matchups against your team.
Well, you know, part of it is they're a little team, a little bit of a team in flux, where they've got some very talented freshmen. You know, I think are playing like freshmen, and they're very talented. There's a kid named A.J. Hammonds, a 7-foot kid, who's been very impressive in their exhibition games. You know, probably his condition level isn't where Coach Painter wants it to be, but he is a load around the basket, 7 feet with a good touch. They've got a freshman point guard who's very dynamic, actually Tyrone Johnson's brother. You know, so I think they play actually very similar styles to us. They're just a little bit bigger, a little more athletic. I think I don't think they have anyone quite as good as Mike at this point.
They don't.
But I think it's a fairly even matchup, although at every position we might be giving up a half a step of quickness and 10 or 15 pounds in terms of strength. So a lot of it will be how we can handle their defensive pressure. I think that will be a key, because we really can't replicate that in practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, and I completely understand. When they get half court on you, they overplay, and that's something that'll be interesting to watch on Friday night. Your kids will handle it, but it'll be interesting to see it though. Hey, right. Dave, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you as often as possible this season, because I'm excited about the product that you're going to bring to the table.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be on the show.
Dave Paulson, the head basketball coach at Bucknell, done a great job, and Mike Muscala certainly is a special talent. Joe Wilman's a special talent. It's a good basketball team. And one thing that's going to happen, obviously, 2 weeks from today, Penn State and Bucknell are going to play in the Jordan Center. It's the first of a 3-game series, and Penn State will play at Soika as part of this. And it's something, to be honest with you, I campaigned for with other coaches for a long time, saying, look, you got to play at Bucknell once in a while instead of always having them come here. And that was never really met with a cheery smile. But now Patrick Chambers has decided, hey, look, you know what? You're not going to get better unless you go into somebody else's place and play. And so they're going to do that. But the first of the series will be 2 weeks from today here at the Bryce Jordan Center. In the next half hour, we'll hear from Patrick Chambers and get the thoughts on his basketball team. And also we will hear from Dave Refson of the Big Ten Network. Bill O'Brien still to come as well. And Greg Sharp coming up from the Nebraska Radio Network. So we have a lot going on this opening day of college basketball. After already hearing from Dave Paulson, and next and on deck will be Patrick Chambers to talk about the Nittany Lions as they get ready for their opener tonight as they take on St. Francis at the Jordan Center at 7 o'clock. This is that time of the year. And it's the fun time of the year. And that's when Dave opened up with me, he said, hey, look, he says, it's November. We're talking college basketball. And now this long road begins. Conversely, in the college football season, Penn State's about to play game 10 and about to play their final road game of the season on November 10th, their final road game of the season. Very quick story for you. We know today is the one-year anniversary of Joe Paterno's firing. And I remember the day like it was yesterday. And I remember he had announced to the staff about 9 o'clock that morning that he had retired. He made that decision. And he told the team about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I remember going to practice that night. And I remember looking out at him on the practice field. And I kept thinking to myself, what's it going to be like now, next year, knowing that he's not going to be here? And then the practice came to a close. And then Tom Venerino drove him back to the house. And I remember going back into the equipment room with Kirk Deal and Spider Caldwell. And they fired up their computers right after practice. And we're sitting there and we're looking at it. And Kirk Deal looks over at us and he went to the Penn State website. And he looked at us and he said, there's no story on here about Joe retiring. And we all looked at each other and said, uh-oh. And I looked at them and I said, you know what that means? They said, what? I said, they haven't accepted his resignation. And all of a sudden, we all looked at each other and thought something wasn't quite right. And about 9:45 that night, I got a call and was told that his contract had been terminated. And, of course, I just sat there completely stunned and... as we all know after that, but that's on that particular day. That was a year ago today. But now at least we're talking football. We'll talk about some other things on a different day. And a little bit later in the show, I'll tell you about how that week played out in some way. I mean, for me, I'm talking about how me, for me, because Greg Sharp was one of those guys that during the course of the week was great to deal with. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury, the Beverage Supermarket. News coming up at the top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.